Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, overfunctioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Lori Bullock is a doll of a human being. She is such a treasure and a wonderful friend of mine in the dental community. She's also a registered dental hygienist, yoga instructor, and a natural health educator. In this episode, you're going to see what makes Lori so special. She brings some fundamental truths into why we should take care of ourselves in the dental industry, and also just some basic suggestions and everyday things that we can do that are free, don't cost you anything, are easy to do, and can really make a profound difference in your overall wellness. She's had a huge impact in my life since meeting her. I met her through Dental Entrepreneurial Women, which always brings together some extraordinary women in the dental space. And I'm so grateful to call her a friend, a confidant, and someone who always is rooting me on and cheering for me. I really hope you get a lot out of this episode, and don't forget to take a big breath, as Lori too is the founder of Breathe with Lori, and she offers some incredible insight on why breath is so important. Lori, welcome to the Real Talk of Dental. I'm so grateful that we're chatting today because you are a dear friend of mine, and I've absolutely loved getting to know you after the last few years. We met through Dental Entrepreneur Women, I think 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm thinking 3. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had an instant connection, and you've just been an absolute joy and such a wonderful and beautiful friend to me over the years, and always in my corner, always rooting for me, which I'm so grateful for. Oftentimes, I don't feel like I'm reciprocating the amount of support you've given me, but it's just been, I'm so grateful to be able to have you on and have this conversation because you're so passionate about what you bring to the dental space. And you're just, you know, you're this quiet force that's really committed to your truth and helping other people feel more grounded and feel more connected. And you have a lot of beautiful resources that people can tap into. And I'm really happy to be able to highlight you and all that you're doing in the space of dentistry. And, you know, one of the things, you are a registered dental hygienist, but you're also a natural health educator and a certified yoga instructor. And you're really committed to bringing wellness into the dental space, and especially for hygienists. And so share a little bit about your journey into the wellness space and why, and what it means to you today.
Sure. Thank you. What a sweet introduction. I have 3 sons. And when the second one was born, I was depressed, anxious, struggling, you know, just feeling tied to the house and the kids, and found a yoga class. And it was like toes on the mat moment. I just felt something shift inside of me. Like, this is where I belong. This is me. This is my moment to be Lori, not mom. And I, from then on, I mean, that was, he's 22. So from then on, once or twice a week, I was doing yoga really consistently. It was helping with my mental health, my physical health. It was helping me with the dental hygiene tightness and wonkiness, and also mostly just spiritually emotional wellness. And so I had kind of had this back burner dream ever since then, like, I'd love to be an instructor someday, but life, you know, just kept going, marching on. And it was during about before COVID, I had told my friend who's a yoga teacher trainer, I want to certify. Do you have any recommendations? And she said, when the teacher and the timing are right, you'll know. So 2020, our office closes for 3 months. And that same friend called me and said, Yoga Alliance has allowed me to certify anyone across the nation online as long as we are finished by the end of June. It's 200 hours. We need to start next week and we'll be like pretty intensive. But I prayed about it and jumped in because the teacher and the timing were right. And right as I certified, our office reopened.
Wow. Pretty awesome. Yeah.
So God was like, how about I put this right here for you? So it worked beautifully. And from there, I started a business. I kept working part-time clinical, started a business called Let's Breathe Yoga, and started teaching. This is my home studio. So I teach here hybrid. Sometimes people come in the studio and sometimes they join on Zoom. But I really, really loved adding that aspect to my life. And about a year later, I felt this interesting prompting to support people who were dealing with trauma. And I was looking into different programs, certifications, trying to decide, and found a mentor named Cynthia Sumner. She's incredible. Her program is called Whole Healing, and I'm one of her coaches now. It was a year-long program, and I've learned so much. So that was the natural health educator piece. And from there, I thought, okay, what can I incorporate into, you know, the dental world and yoga and wellness, and have a program now that's called the Wellness Toolkit Experience. That's really fun. And it's been evolving and growing. And I love it. I feel like it rounds out the, you know, dental hygiene is clinical and it's professional, and you're, I just feel like I wear a different vibe at the office in order to do a good job with my patients. And then here I can have the, you know, softer, gentler, more relaxed side of me, which I was missing before when I was just working clinical. So it's been really a good combination for me. It's just a perfect mix, I think. So yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know the way you approach wellness too is such a like gentle, you know, even just getting outside. And I remember your walks in the woods and stuff like that, that you would share about. And talk a little bit too about your own journey on how, you know, this path into the wellness toolkit and the yoga, and what did that really bring up for you in parts of yourself that you knew you needed to heal or unravel? Because I know for me, when I embark on wellness paths or focusing on inner work, like, you know, it's just like they say, peeling the onion, right? There's more is revealed, and we might be the teacher, but we're also the student, right?
Oh, for
and
sure.
We keep unpacking stuff. So for you, what were some of the things that you really started to learn about yourself?
So I would say I've had this thing. Okay, this is fun. I was looking through a box in the attic. We're getting ready to move. And I was looking through all these things that my mom had saved. And in right after high school, I came across a picture, I don't think I have it right here, of me hanging out in a tree that had been tipped over. So there's this tree, I'm hanging out on it, doing a peace sign, just teenage girl. And interestingly, a big part of my workbook, and I put it right on the cover, is me hanging out on this. You can't tell, but there's a tree that's been tipped over and caught in that big V. And so I'm like, I've always just, you know, when you realize I've always been me. So that, you know, I think I do deal with mental health issues. And in my 20s was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which I wasn't able to say out loud, especially not in a public forum, for years and years. I was in denial. I didn't want to take medication the rest of my life. I didn't want to deal with it or talk about it. Now I'm like, wow, that's been my gift, is to feel broken and to feel tipped over and to feel, you know, not okay. And then to realize that I am being held. I am caught every time I fall. And so I was actually in an inpatient care facility about 13 years ago. We had made a big cross-country move. Things were stressful. I wasn't sleeping. I had a psychotic episode and got in the hospital. My mom visited me and she looked at me in my numbed out state in the middle of this group program, people throwing things. It was wild, but I was so numbed out. But the one thing I remember she said to me is, "You're going through this so you can share with other people later and help other people later." And so a few years ago, when I started teaching about wellness and doing this work, I was like, "Mom, guess what? It's the moment that you know," that came back to me. And it was just this beautiful realization that that sucked. And here I am being able to take what I've learned. And what I teach is super simple. Like, I mean, the principles, breath, simple, movement, simple, rest and sleep, nourishing your body, eliminating well, healing, abundance, alignment, connection, music, nature, and just change. So I feel like we all can go back to basics. It's not as complicated. You know, we might get in a funk and we might think, "Oh, I don't even know where to start." We'll start by going outside. Put your feet on the grass, put your face in the sun, touch a tree. Really, those simple, simple things. Those are some of my go-tos when it's like, I just don't even know what I need. That's probably what I need, is start by going outside. Mm-hmm. That's almost always my go-to. So yeah, I just feel like it's been a gift and a blessing to learn and teach and learn and teach. And that's a pattern I want to keep for my whole life. The more I learn, the more I can teach.
Yeah, I'm with you on that too. I feel like anything that I learn or experience myself, it's like I have to share this with others, you know? Yeah. It keeps it alive, I think, for us too, right. You know? I mean, even, you know, in the world of 12-step is this idea of, you know, the 12-step, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, you know, we share this message with others, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the idea is that by giving it away, you know, we get to continue to keep it, and that reciprocity of what we've received, which I think is so important. Yeah. And yeah, thank you for sharing about your story too, and having the courage to share that and being vulnerable, because I know people can definitely relate to that. And even being in the space of being resistant to any kind of diagnosis and not getting the help that someone needs, right? Because they think, well, I don't want to have that label when there is help out there. So did you feel, like you said, you were in denial a little bit about it. What finally got you to say, to surrender, I guess?
That's a good question. So ultimately it was my relationships. I recognized, and my mom, having had bipolar herself, was also able to help me see that, you know, your relationships, you're not able to show up consistently well with your husband and your children. And to me, those were my most precious relationships. And so that got my attention. I thought, I want to be the same mom today, tomorrow, the next day. They need to know they can count on me being consistently kind and functioning and, you know, not manic and not depressed. They need a mom that's right in the middle. So I was at that point like, okay, I'm in, sign me up. I'll take meds the rest of my life. I'll do whatever it takes. And, you know, of course I still every once in a while daydream like, ooh, I wonder if I was able to be really, really, really good at taking good care of myself and maybe come off them. But we've tried and it's not a good idea. So I have accepted that. And what a great blessing that I live at this time and not 300 years ago. I have the advantage of having those chemicals balanced in my brain. So
Yeah, for sure. And I really love your wellness guide too, because like you're saying, it's getting back to basics. And that's something I always talk to people about, is the fundamentals. And I think in our high-paced, super ambitious, driven world, we forget about the basics. We forget about the fundamentals. And people will come to me and, you know, either whether they're clients or if I'm mentoring women or something, and they're like, "Oh, I'm feeling this and this." And, you know, they're just sort of in this crazed state of overwhelm. And it's like, "Have you eaten today? You know,
did you sleep last night?
Yeah, how much sleep did you get last night?" You know, and then it's like, oh, I ate some food. I feel so much better, you know, or phone a friend, like go and just get out there and be around people and get, or get to a meeting or whatever. And then they feel so much better. And we very quickly want to catastrophize whatever it is that's going on. And sometimes that's legitimate, like something really big might be happening. But also we really need to make sure that those fundamentals are in check.
Yeah.
Before we make any of those big decisions. And I love that you're just rooting. And now that I say this out loud, I guess it goes along with your tree theme, which, you know, I'm obsessed with trees as well. But you're helping people with the roots, right? It's like you're building the root system with them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I'm big on routines too. Like I have a certain morning routine that takes about an hour. And if I skip or minimize that or shortcut it, especially a few days in a row, I'm like, just my brain is all over. But that brings that routine, especially after a good night's sleep, that morning routine gets me so solid and I'm just ready to, you know, live my best life. It's amazing what a difference starting my day with certain things does.
Yeah. And I know we've talked in the past too about, you know, even for a lot of people, I know you're not alone with this, but having the dread, you know, at the start of the day heading in, and, you know, some people get the Sunday scaries, as they say, and just kind of bummed about the week ahead and, you know, future tripping a bit, as I say. And that can be overwhelming too, like especially if you get word that someone called out or the schedule's a little crazy or whatever. People can feel feel very overwhelmed at what they're heading into going into the dental office. What are some of the routines or, you know, ideas that you can offer folks that have similar feelings?
Yeah, I love that. And I actually get to speak at the dental hygiene school where I graduated 27 years ago, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
But, so I'm kind of thinking lately about just the little moments that we have control over. So, yeah, the night before blues hit or the Sunday scaries hit, and you can choose to like find a yoga mat or a quiet place and turn on some meditation music or sit and just breathe for 3 minutes. Little simple things that clear your mind. And then for me, when I have a good combination of stretching and strengthening, my musculoskeletal disorder settles down. So Katrina Klein actually gave me a personal workout routine that I can do at home for my specific, you know, it's usually right here that I have issues. I also have a series of stretches that I do. I mean, I do yoga too, but for me, when I think about going to work and I start to feel my shoulders rise and this start tensing, just knowing that I'm going to be like trying not to do the certain things, I do stretch and strengthen. It feels empowering. I'm like, I know what to do. I can stretch the muscles that hurt. I can strengthen them to prevent future injury, to prepare and prevent. So that's something. And then I call it parking lot panic, that feeling of when you're actually walking through the parking lot to the door. I turn that into a parking lot prayer instead. I, for probably 25 years, have made a point of, from the time I walk from my car to touching the handle of the office, I am saying a prayer. You know, my mind has probably been on a million things on the drive and I'm, you know, distracted, but that's my reminder, like, help me show up as a good hygienist, help me take good care of people, help me to be kind to my team, open the door. So little moments like that, I think just if we build them in, it can ease some of that. Like, and I also, I've had this really sweet pattern too, where, you know, there's a certain point in my dental hygiene visit care that I know is going to be quiet. So I'm talking to the patient from the second they walk in and talking. But we get to this certain point, usually when I'm polishing, that it's quiet and I have time to breathe and think. And sometimes I will just ask God, you know, obviously that doesn't work for everyone, but just check in with my heart and say, is there anything I could say or do to make this person's life better? And that's my moment. Like I take that polishing quiet moment to pray that, to think that, And then you have the time you're flossing and making the next appointment and waiting for the exam to say or do that thing. So that's been a pattern for me as well. And a lot of times nothing comes to mind, but sometimes it's like a very specific, you know, they're just really struggling and they could use some love. Or it's a lot of times just, how can I show this person love in a way that only I can? I might be the only person they talk to today. Those are the ones that break my heart. People who live alone and I know that I'm the only person they're talking to. Like this, this is a really impactful moment. I can touch this person's life. And then they're going to go home to a quiet house and, you know, be able to think about the thing that I said or the love I poured into them. So my kind of longstanding habits that have worked well for me. And also on the lunch break, I mean, if you eat your lunch outside and go for a walk, you feel like you can make it through the afternoon. I do. So I try to be outside for lunch every, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Gosh, it's also beautiful. I really love your commitment and the conscious effort, you know, that you're putting into how you show up each day. And I think, you know, a lot of folks take that for granted in the sense of, you know, in dentistry, we are in a healing profession, right? And it is a medical profession. And the space, you know, folks that are in the office hold for patients and for each other, it's pretty impactful, and it's also pretty profound, like on our own nervous systems. You know, I was sharing on the Do Learning Crew recently just about the impact of, you know, alcohol on our nervous systems, for example, and just showing how our nervous system is actually designed. And then for women, like how our hormones play into our nervous system. There's so many layers to that, and obviously alcohol doesn't serve it very well. But we were talking about how even just feeling the energy and the nervous systems of other people. So you have your team for sure, but then you also have patients coming in. And depending on the procedure, how the patient's condition is, they might be very nervous or neurotic or angry or scared. And you guys chair side, you know, you're feeling that. And even front office, you're feeling them when they're coming in and the worry and the stress they may have about paying their bill or getting the treatment or whatever. And you're in this constant emotional bandwidth transaction all day long. And if you're seeing, you know, 6-10 patients a day, it's a lot. And I think a lot of people don't think about that and the level of care that you need to invest in to really have sustainability and to feel fulfilled and feel just generally even okay. Because, yeah, the body starts to break down because you're all contorting your bodies in a tough way, but also just the energy exchange, you know? And me, granted, I'm not, you know, chair side like y'all are in the office, but the kind of work that I do, in order for me to show up the way that I show up, my self-care and my spiritual practice is like top priority. And also, and that includes what I'm putting in my body and how I'm nourishing myself in all the ways and who I'm surrounding myself with and things like that. So I can show up in the best way, but also that I stay healthy. Right. And somebody shared on that learning crew that a lot of women in the dental profession have thyroid disease, which I thought was really interesting. And she wasn't sure even if that had a relation to the stress, nervous system, hormones, all of those types of things. But yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. But yeah. So what are your thoughts on that?
Really great point. I've at times, so I've developed this. I'm very visual, tactile, like want to picture it, want to have this felt experience. So I have another little routine that I sometimes do will be to pretend that when I get to work, I pretend I'm putting on like this PPE that covers my whole, like just everything and protects me from other people's energy, so that at the end of the day, I'm like pretending to take it off, toss it in the dumpster, and get in my car as just me, shedding all of that that's been shared around me. I learned a term recently, secondary traumatic stress, STS, and it is emotional, I'm going to read it, emotional distress from hearing about or witnessing another person's traumatic experience, common in helping professions like therapy, medicine, dentistry, education. So it's, you know, when someone's telling you their dental anxiety story, you get to have secondary traumatic stress, vicarious trauma, because you're empathizing with their trauma and stress. And so we have to be mindful, like, I'm not taking that on. That's theirs. I can empathize, but I'm not taking it into me. Like, I don't need that. I can listen and smile and nod and love on them and let them keep it or release it, you know, whatever they're ready to do. But I'm not taking it on myself.
Yeah. And that too takes conscious effort, you know, like I've even been advised, you know, imagine the white light, you know, surrounding you and protecting you. Mm-hmm. And similarly. Yeah. And I love everything you're saying, because this is stuff, you know, I'm passionate about too. And the reason being is we both know it's the truth, you know, and a lot of people don't ever think about these kinds of things. And we all think we're like superhuman or have special powers.
I'm fine. Yeah. I get in a stressful situation all the time. It's like, you're also human. And
Or it won't happen to me, you know. Yeah. It won't happen to me. And then it does, you know, so that's, and I love, again, your toolkit and the stuff you're saying, because the suggestions you're giving and the practices that you have, I mean, it's, for all intents and purposes, it's free, you know, it's stuff that.
Oh yeah. It's always available.
Available. Yeah. Yeah. You don't need any sort of special ring or watch or program to like
subscription,
you know.
Exactly.
Just some basic stuff and having the awareness of it.
And can I just say too about breath, like, because I think breath is the most basic, it's the first thing we do on earth when we arrive, and it's the most important thing we do that keeps us here until we die. And I've studied breath. My business is Let's Breathe Yoga, and I'm consistently amazed by how complicated breath is and how simple it is. It's like, how can something so simple as breathe in, breathe out be written about in Sanskrit, like books and volumes of books about breath holding and different things, and like all the research that's been done all through the centuries of time. People have understood and recognized how important breath is, and there's so many ways to breathe that change our physiology, I guess. My favorite breath is simply breathing in and out through my nose, slow and deep. It always comes back to that. I'm like, I can learn so many breath techniques, and I just love to breathe slow and deep in and out through my nose. So if you're listening to this, I invite you to just do that, you know, slow, deep breaths in and out through your nose, let your shoulders soften, let your jaw soften. It's amazing what that tells our nervous system. It tells us we're okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you're saying this, because one of my big things for 2026 is breath. And just intuitively, it came up for me like, okay, this is the year you're really going to focus on learning how to breathe. And I was literally just talking to my husband about this, because I've really been starting the year focusing on some breathing exercises. And I was like, oh my God, I feel incredible. And I was like laughing, because I'm like, this is our breath. This is free. This is so easy to do. And there was a point where I was breathing and it wasn't that hard. I was just honestly, like you're saying, taking some really full breaths and fully exhaling, because I've noticed for myself, I don't exhale all the way. Mm-hmm. And something that came up for me, you know, with my history and my upbringing and stuff like that, is I was afraid to fully exhale because I'm always like bracing for impact. So I've always have this like, oh, you know, don't exhale too much. Make sure you got a little. So there was fear. So when I really started exhaling, all this fear was coming up for me. And there was this, I could tell a little bit of resistance, like, you got to be ready. You got to be ready. And the voice that kept coming up was bracing for impact. Don't let your guard down. Mm-hmm. And that was like emotional at first, even as I was exhaling, because I was like, whoa, this is like old programming. This is at like a cellular level.
Yeah.
And then once I got through that and really kept exhaling, like just even me doing it a little now, it was like, it felt so good. And like you're saying, it resets the nervous system. I mean, it felt like a miracle. It's like crazy, because, you know, we take drugs for this stuff and I'm like, oh my God, all I gotta do is just
I've had this all along.
We have the drugstore right here.
Yeah.
You know, it's wild.
Always, always. And that's something I turned to as well, like going back to the secondary trauma in the dental office. When a patient, so I try to be super present with my patients, and the first 5-ish minutes that they're in my room, I'm not jumping right in with my gloves and hands in their mouth. I want to connect with their heart, my heart to their heart, so they feel comfortable. So we're talking, and it seems like we're just chatting, but I'm like sensing their energy and letting them sense my calmness and how much I care. And when they start launching into a tirade and their face is getting more red and they're starting to sweat and they're telling me about their dental anxiety story, because I am so connected and want to be so connected to them, I have to disconnect in that moment and literally just kind of stop listening and use my mom tune out skills and stop listening, but keep looking at them and smiling and nodding. But all I'm doing is breathing and letting go of their trauma. Like I'm just letting it roll off me. I'm just breathing. My job is to breathe and smile and nod. And then when I feel ready to re-engage, sometimes I kind of, oh, that sounds so hard. Thank you for sharing with me. We're gonna get started now and like whoop, wrap it back up. But people will open a big package and start letting a lot of stuff out when you're in a position like being a dental hygienist. So I just have learned I can tell when I am starting to like, I'm taking on their stuff. And I'm like, okay, stop listening, breathe, and let it go. For all they know, I'm still empathizing as much as I was 30 seconds ago, but I'm letting go of their dental anxiety, their story.
You're being present with them and you're seeing them and you're hearing them, but you're not taking it all in, right? And for a
Because
lot
it's
of
too
people,
much. Yeah. I won't be able to help them if I sit there and like drown in their stuff with them. Like, okay, that's my limit. I just hit my limit. I can tell in my body that I'm just needing to like disconnect for a second from feeling all your feels.
Exactly. Gosh, Lori, thank you so much. This is just such a beautiful conversation. I actually feel calmer just talking to you, so thank you. And we'll have all the information on where folks can find you and even getting access to your toolkit in the show notes below. Thank you so much. I just think everything you're doing, it's where it's needed, and it's such a huge service to so many people. And you don't have to be a dental hygienist, to benefit from this kind of stuff. I think for anybody, right? Anyone in the dental office and even beyond, it's like basic fundamental stuff that really helps us stay connected and stay true to who we are. So thank you so much for
Oh, you're
being on and sharing your
welcome.
story with me.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's so fun to spend time with you. Thanks. And thanks everyone who listened.
You just listened to the Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices, it's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.